We now bring to these microphones David James. David, I've been with you all this last week. We had a fantastic time there at the School of Prophets Conference right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. 10 hours of teaching each. Boy, that's a pretty good strain on our voices and our bodies over a three-day period of time. But I thought it was fantastic, and the Lord opened up the hearts and minds of the people to understand what we were teaching, did they not?
Yes, it sure was a great time. We had almost 30 people there, which was a really great number. We had the conference room packed out, and people were eager to learn both the things that you were teaching and the things that I was teaching as well. And we had a lot of people joining us online as well.
That was great. And, you know, folks, we say we only had 30 people. That was by design. We want serious students of Bible prophecy. We don't bring in a bunch of hot dogs who are teaching Bible prophecy, the postmodern prophecy paradigm guys who are talking about the Nephilim and everything else. We go into the Word of God, we choose the subject, and we deal with that. And those were serious students from all over the country. We had a couple fly down from Maine, some people from Florida, all over this part of the world here in the Chattanooga area, so it was great. Well, David, last week was the first of a two-part discussion concerning the presidential candidates ahead of next week's debate on CNN, of course. We began looking at the candidates and where they stand on several important issues as a bit of a review. Why don't you just take a moment and let's discuss why we feel it is important for us to deal with this topic.
Well, I think first and foremost, the fact that we live in a free country that allows us and grants us the right to participate in the selection of our leaders gives us a great opportunity to exercise our responsibility to be salt and light in this world, and that's what the Lord would expect of us. We have a chance to be not only a testimony, but to help shape the policies of the nation that affect everything on moral and ethical issues, as well as political issues and where we even stand in the world.
Well, in fact, we also discussed the question of whether Christians should only vote for someone who aligns exactly with our own theological views.
Well, you know, ideally that would be good, but the fact is we're not voting in a theologian or a pastor in chief, and most importantly, whether they share exactly what we believe, the most important thing is that their worldview is shaped by biblical principles, and that's what we're looking for.
David, this week on CNN, there will be 11 candidates participating in the top-tier debate, and then 5 in the earlier second-tier debate. Talk to us about that.
Right. At 8 p.m. in the top-tier debate, there will be Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Mike Huckabee, Rand Paul, Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, Carly Fiorina, John Kasich, and Chris Christie. That's a mouthful getting those 11 out. And then the 5 in the 6 o'clock debate will be Rick Perry, Rick Santorum, George Pataki, Bobby Jindal, and Lindsey Graham.
Well, that's going to be a very interesting time for Christians to tune in and hear what the candidates have to say. Now, last week, we discussed standings in the polls and the religious affiliations of the candidates. And this week, we're going to be looking at some of the issues. Let's begin where the 11 top-tier candidates stand regarding the two major social and moral issues that should be of great concern for all born-again believers: abortion and same-sex marriage. Talk to us about the candidates and these two issues.
Well, the top two candidates in the polls, both in the 20-plus percent range, would be Donald Trump, who is a Presbyterian. He claims to be a Presbyterian. He claims to be pro-life, but the fact is he's been firmly pro-abortion in the past, including seemingly for a partial birth abortion even. Now he says that he's evolved and that he only holds to abortion in cases of rape, incest, and to save the life of the mother. He also says he's pro-traditional marriage, but also says that he's evolving on this. So I don't know that we know where he stands really when it comes right down to it. He's learning the political process, unfortunately, very quickly. Ben Carson is a Seventh-day Adventist, but seems to have a very biblical worldview, and he even made the statement, the most important thing for me is having a relationship with God. to know that the Creator of the universe sent His Son to die for your sins, and that's very empowering. He's firmly pro-life and traditional marriage. Jeb Bush was an Episcopal, converted to Catholicism. He's staunchly pro-life and traditional marriage, and in fact is against the constitutional right for same-sex marriage. Ted Cruz is a conservative evangelical. He's a committed Southern Baptist. He's outspoken, very outspoken, against all abortion with no exceptions. He's strongly against same-sex marriage and actually showed support for Kim Davis in Kentucky, the clerk who would not issue same-sex marriage licenses. Marco Rubio is a Catholic. He's pro-life, but he also holds the exception in cases of rape and to save the life of a mother. He's pro-traditional marriage, but he believes the states should decide. So I think that's maybe a little weak in the way you phrase that. But anyway, Scott Walker is a conservative evangelical. He is very pro-life, and he is against the exceptions that many have. He wants to protect the institution of marriage and wants the states to define marriage. Carly Fiorina is Episcopal. She's pro-life with the exceptions that many have of rape, incest, and to save the life of the mother. She has said that she believes marriage is a spiritual institution, but says that gays should be allowed civil unions. Mike Huckabee is probably among the most conservative. He's a conservative evangelical and ordained Southern Baptist pastor. He's pro-life and has called for a repeal of Roe versus Wade, and there are no exceptions for abortion in his mind. And he actually led a support rally for Kim Davis in Kentucky this week. Chris Christie is Catholic. He's pro-life, except for rape, incest, and life of the mother. He does believe the homosexuals are born that way, but supports civil unions rather than marriage. Rand Paul is a Presbyterian. He has said that he finds matters of faith difficult to discuss or to wear on his sleeve, as he said. He says he is 100% pro-life. He's for traditional marriage and says that there's a moral crisis in America and even that there's a need for another great awakening. And then John Kasich of Ohio, he's a Catholic convert to Anglicanism. He, too, is pro-life, except in cases of rape and incest. He does not support same-sex marriage, but he did not defend Kim Davis this past week.
You know, I think it would be very important for you to go back and re-listen to this conversation I'm having with David James. You can do that by going to our website, prophecytoday.com. Go to PTRN, Prophecy Today Radio Network. There you will find that conversation that we are having right now. Now, the reason I say that, we're not endorsing anybody. We're just laying out the information, and I believe the body of Christ should exercise their franchise of voting, but you need to understand who the candidates are and where they stand on issues. We talked about abortion and same-sex marriage. David and I both believe these are the two key issues for any candidate for any office in the world, especially as the powerful leader of this world in the United States, the president. So that's why we put that out. And again, we're not endorsing anybody. We're simply putting the information out. You could read it someplace, but we're doing this service as a opportunity for those who study with us Bible prophecy to understand. And remember, the Lord put into place human government. He's used human government down through the ages. He's going to continue to do it. Revelation 17:17. So you need to have this information. And if, of course, we're going so fast you didn't get it, you re-listen to it, you can slow it down a little bit. David, we were talking about those in the top tier. Who are the religious and social conservatives among the five lower-tier candidates?
Well, certainly Rick Perry would be very conservative, evangelical, as would Bobby Jindal. He's a Catholic, but he's a convert from Hinduism to Catholicism. He's very conservative. Rick Santorum perhaps is the most conservative. He's a very conservative Catholic. George Pataki, who is a former governor of New York, is probably the least conservative of the 16 that we have mentioned. Lindsey Graham tends to be very conservative, but he's really almost off the charts in terms of being at the very bottom of the polls.
What about the fact that there is another important issue where the candidates stand, and that relates to America's support for and defense of Israel?
I think what we would say is that the Republican platform in general is definitely pro-Israel, and so all of the candidates would line up on that platform. And I think, you know, probably Rand Paul would be the biggest concern simply because he largely shares the isolationist views of his father, Ron Paul, and really believes Israel should basically stand on its own if possible.
Well, let's briefly discuss the Democratic candidates. We want to be bipartisan. And the two most people would say that have the best chance, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders. But there are a few others in there declared, and some not declared. Joe Biden, is he going to run, you think, or will he not run?
Well, you know, he was just on Stephen Colbert's program, and he says he's just not sure, and a lot of it has to do with the death, recent death of his son. And so I really don't know. I think it's a real possibility, but I don't think he's even convinced that he can give 110%, and that's what he said. Hillary Clinton, she attends a Methodist church in D.C. She's definitely pro-abortion, and even though she opposed gay marriage in 2013, she appears to have changed her mind, although she does support Israel and opposes boycotts of the nation. Bernie Sanders is probably the least religious candidate. He's Jewish, a self-proclaimed democratic socialist, and a staunch supporter of abortion and same-sex marriage. He believes in Israel's right to exist, but also believes there should be a Palestinian state.
Folks, I believe if you've been eavesdropping on this conversation, it's been very valuable to you. And again, let me suggest you re-listen to maybe even last week's broadcast and this week's broadcast, and you have to come to some biblical decisions as you select a candidate that you would like to see be the president of the United States. That's the reason that we brought this information to you. But in addition to that, let me also remind you, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, God brings human government into existence. Down through the centuries, he's used human government. I could give you illustration after illustration. No time to do that at this point. Also, Romans chapter 13 says, those people elected are ministers, and God allows them to be there. We know that, but you still must exercise your franchise in voting. But finally, I would say that you need to be praying for these candidates and for all of those in office already. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, first of all, pray for those who are in higher authority. That's the command. Exercise our franchise to vote. Pray for those that are in higher authority. Remember, God puts them in place. Well, David, thank you so very much for last week at the School of Prophets Conference. You did an excellent job. Thank you for being with us today. We'll look forward to next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Look forward to it.